Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us as we get back to it every day this week, 11 a.m. live here on the Big X, of course, from our studios in Jeffersonville. And glad to have you with us. Busy time. I was just looking before we came on the air, high school sports alone. It's week 8 of high school football Friday night. Also, you've got tennis regionals this week, soccer sectionals on the girls' side begin this week. I believe the boys' side begin next week. Cross-country sectionals coming up this weekend as well. And so we are getting to the postseason. We are getting to the start of the conclusion of fall sports. Of course, for football, this week on Thursday, we have the tournament pairing show from 6 to 8 from Indianapolis, where we'll find out a few weeks from now who's going to play who in the sectional in the postseason, what the paths look like. And so that's always an exciting time as well. We got NBA finals going on, all sorts of professional sports right now. Baseball, of course, in the middle of its playoffs, the early stages of their postseason. NFL football rolling, just tons of stuff. There's no problem right now finding sports. Jimmy Butler last night, what a game, 40-something points, a triple-double. I think it was 40 on the nose for the Miami Heat. As that series now a little bit more interesting, 2-1, the Lakers lead. I know we probably don't have a ton of NBA Finals viewers, but hey, it's the basketball we have right now, so let's hope we have a good competitive finals the rest of the way. Thanks for being with us. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll get to some college basketball stuff, another big day, another big meeting by the Men's Basketball Oversight Committee in NCAA today for some other important topics. We'll tell you about some college basketball news over the weekend as well. And we'll recap high school football on Friday night in this opening segment. Also, later in the program, segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join. With Zach, we'll talk some IU hoops and some IU football, as we always do, to kickstart the week from a Hoosier perspective. So stay with us for that. And then later in the show today, Chad Gilbert, former coach, current athletic director at Charlestown High School, also IHSAA Executive Board President for this year. He joins us as we talk some local sports and the busy time for high school sports and the start of high school basketball and a lot more coming up here very soon. That's the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. They have you can take them, you can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, we love to hear from you. If you've got a question or a comment or a topic or something for one of our guests, a couple easy ways you can submit your thoughts. Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can send me a tweet or a DM. We'll take a look at those. Also, you can email the show, HoosierReport@gmail.com. And thanks to those of you that, since we put the email out there, if we've got some additional people that seem to contribute somewhat on a daily basis with their questions and thoughts as well. So be sure and take a moment. If you've got a question, comment, topic you'd like us to ask, you can hit me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, and of course, HoosierReport@gmail.com. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And Jeff Goodman, who's been all over college hoops for this season with Stadium, according to him, The Men's Basketball Oversight Committee will meet today again. And some of the topics today that they are going to discuss, perhaps even vote on, who knows, is whether basketball players and other winter sports college athletes should receive an additional season of competition. Now, that's interesting. I'm not sure if they're talking about giving them an extra season because of COVID-19 and all the issues that were caused last season, or if it has something to do with this year, thinking maybe it won't be normal, maybe there won't be fans. Maybe a combination of both. But that is on the agenda, according to Jeff Goodman, for today. Also, right now, there's a 27-game limit in college basketball. But to get the 27 games, you've got to play in one of these MTEs, which we've talked a lot about here in recent weeks. Those are multiple team events. So there could be some potential changes to the parameters of the 27-game limit coming up. So that will be interesting to hear what is going on there. And it sounds like another important meeting today by the NCAA and those decision makers in men's basketball. But kudos to those guys, led by Mr. Gavitt with the NCAA, because they have done a good job, I think, of communicating possibilities, communicating changes, and for the most part, taking a strong lead on this stuff, completely opposite from what we saw on the college football situation with so much disparity between conferences and the college football playoff group and then the NCAA as well. Just seemed like things were all over the place. But basketball has definitely, at least to this point, been a lot better as we enter early October. And we are a month and a half or under a month and a half now until the planned start of the season for college hoops on November 25th. Also, I saw that the NCAA, they have released their 2021 recruiting calendar for men's basketball. So the live periods, you've got two weekends in the spring and April for the travel ball, the AAU, the grassroots, the Nike Adidas stuff. You've got two weekends in June again for high school certified stuff. So athletes and prospects playing with their high school teams. And then you've got just the one or two weekends in July, one for travel teams, the Nike stuff, the shoe circuit stuff, and then one for those NCAA academies at the end of the month. And there's no change from what was supposed to happen this past year or what started to happen a couple springs and summers ago. But it's just nice to see that sort of stuff released, that we are planning to get back, hopefully, to some normalcy in what we expect, not just with recruiting and summer ball and all that sort of stuff, but in sports as a whole, that we're actually planning and releasing dates for the future and that we're hoping that we have all this stuff and it's normal. And hopefully at that point, we're a lot closer to normalcy than we are right now. But good to see that as well for those of you that follow recruiting closely. And also a Big Ten note of interest. You know, Rutgers is not, they're not really at the very top, like 1, 2, maybe 3 in the Big Ten Conference, but they are one of the teams that's near the top. They are projected to be, by most people, above Indiana this year. They are projected to really have a classic season for Rutgers, probably their best since entering the Big Ten Conference. And it was announced over the weekend that guard Caleb McConnell is going to take a redshirt year. I believe he's had some back issues. He started 21 games, played in 31 games last season, averaged 6.7 points, 1.5 assists, and 3.7 rebounds. So a key player in the Rutgers lineup, or at least expected to be this year, that will not be suiting up with Rutgers when the season starts. He'll be on a medical redshirt. So interesting to follow stuff like that in the Big Ten. And, of course, a lot of players coming back that chose not to go the NBA path. That really helped the NBA, or helped the quality, I think, of the Big Ten conference this year. You've got great coaches in the conference. We've already talked, I think you could see between 8 and 10 teams make the NCAA tournament as a way early preseason projection. But you just hate to see injuries by some of the better guys, especially in the preseason, or especially things that have lingered on through their career, and Rutgers will lose a key player because of that. Daron Davis, former Hoosier, he signed a rookie deal to play in Ireland, according to his agency over the weekend. He'll be joining the Kilister Dublin Basketball Club in the Super League, and that is a team that I think has an opportunity to be pretty good in that respective league in Ireland. I think it's their best league in Ireland, so good for Daron. He'll play in Ireland, get those experiences, and make some tax-free money as he plays professional basketball. High school football, week 7 now in the books. We had one really good game, New Albany and Seymour. That was probably the most thrilling game. High scoring, close all the way to the end of the contest. But the biggest news of the weekend was Zen Mahalski of Floyd Central, who recently opened his recruitment up after decommitting from the University of Louisville. He announced on Saturday night on the Jeffersonville High School radio station that he has committed to The Ohio State University. And, of course, the Mahalski recruiting has been interesting to follow because shortly after he originally committed to the University of Louisville, it seemed like his stock as a prospect, he went up a star or so. He started to get some other scholarship offers from some of the big programs across the country. He chose Ohio State over some other really strong football programs as well. Florida State, Penn State, Louisville, those were the top four that he released last week. And we had Zen with us Thursday on the program to talk about all this, to talk about his reopening of his recruitment and his favorite schools and when he might make a decision. And he even said during that interview he would have no problem making a decision pretty quick, because with COVID, you're just not going to get to take any more visits. You can do virtual stuff and on-the-phone things with coaches and their staffs, but that's about it. And so he wanted to go ahead and jump and make the decision. And Zen Mahalski, I think, will be a name that, as a lot of Indiana fans listening, pay attention to IU and the Big Ten football in future seasons, that we'll hear Mahalski's name. Definitely, of course, someone that the Hoosiers will see once a year. Other headlines from over the weekend, I mentioned that New Albany game. Bulldogs get to 500 after their game last week was canceled at Bloomington North with a 42-35 win at Seymour over the weekend. Again, a thrilling game, high-scoring game, probably the best football game of the evening. Floyd Central had no problems at all with Jennings County. Jeffersonville, a little surprised, they were defeated on the opening or reopening of Blair Field, which I've only seen from a distance, but I understand from some folks that were at the game over the weekend, it is an absolutely beautiful facility. Of course, turf is the main attraction at that new facility, but so much is new, so much is improved. The Red Devils, though, could not put out a strong effort to open that stadium. I do think Madison is better. They are leaving the Hoosier Hills Conference after this year. They normally don't compete in basketball, football, a lot of sports. I do feel like this is probably one of the better teams that they've had in some time. One of the first victories in Jeffersonville that I can ever remember. I don't have the all-time records with me, but definitely one of a few victories, if maybe not the only one, that Madison has ever had over Jeff football going back in the history of that series. Clarksville lost at Brownstown over the weekend. Rock Creek was also defeated as well. And Providence got a second win of the season as the Pioneers were victorious up at Mitchell over the weekend. Charlestown also lost to Cordon Central to kind of wrap up what happened in Week 7 with our local football teams. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. One other high school note to share with you. Don't forget the IHSA tournament pairings in football. We will have that show for you Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. here on the Big X. And then when that's done, from 8 to 9, I'll have a local tournament pairing show. We'll interview some of the coaches and talk about some of the storylines surrounding the high school football pairings. And, of course, the final few weeks of the regular season. Week 8 coming up Friday, Week 9 a week from Friday, and then we're headed to postseason football. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday edition of the program. Zach Osterman, who covers the IU beat for the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Mondays to help kickstart our discussion of IU basketball and IU football for the week. And Zach, another weekend of college football minus the Big Ten Conference in the books, and some of the favorites have not fared so well this season. But it just, to me, without the Big Ten, without Indiana in those scores, involved in my TV flipping over the weekend, it just doesn't seem like a normal college football weekend. I guess when we get to late October, maybe it'll start feeling that way.
You know, what I found myself missing the most is the late Pac-12 games, because, you know, it we make the jokes about Pac-12 after dark and all that, but, you know, there are nights where I won't get home from an IU football game until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. You know, even a 3:30 game that ends around 7, I probably won't get home from that until close to 10. And so I won't really have been able to sort of absorb or engage with any college football through most of the day, at least not in kind of just a sit down and watch it sort of way. But I'll, you know, pour a beer or whatever after my wife goes to sleep and turn on Stanford USC or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's kind of what I miss, is that there's not, you know, a game on late that I can just sort of almost fall asleep to, basically. It's a strange year, but at the same time, as you said, before long, everybody will be back playing, and I don't think it will ever feel fully normal. But it's still just, you know, it's just, it's still just the rhythm of it is weird.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. I want to jump right to some basketball stuff. And in our headline segment today to open the show, I mentioned that according to Jeff Goodman with Stadium, there's an NCAA Men's Basketball Oversight Committee meeting today, and they're going to talk about a couple interesting topics. One of those is whether basketball players and winter sports athletes should receive an additional season of competition. Does this surprise you at all that is on the agenda to be discussed? And what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think I can kind of see it both ways. You know, obviously they did what they did for the spring athletes because they lost their season. They did what they did for the fall athletes because of all the uncertainty around it. I think on the one hand, you do sort of feel like, well, is this, you know, is this really necessary when it seems like we're going to have the protocols in place to, in all likelihood, complete a fairly comprehensive season? And in fact, when, you know, if things go absolutely well, we could be coming out the end of that season talking about a vaccine, talking about a beginning of a return to normal. On the other hand, I would point out, or I would say, you've already given the spring athletes their season back. You've already given fall athletes, you know, basically a free hall pass. I mean, you know, talking about, I've had this conversation in a number of different ways around IU football, where IU's got this really talented team, you know, inordinately talented for its recent history, and it's mostly juniors and seniors, and it could return basically all of that next fall because all these kids are just going to get a free year. I think you do sort of say, well, is it really equitable to not give that to winter athletes as well? You know, if we're going to give it to spring athletes, and that's fair, and we're going to give it to fall athletes, and that's probably fair. When some of the same arguments kind of apply to spring athletes or to winter athletes and as fall athletes in terms of saying, well, what happens if your season gets completely derailed, you know, whatever else. I think it's fair to say, why are winter athletes getting left out in all this, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the other topics of discussion at this meeting, this one kind of caught me off guard. It's whether to change the parameters of the 27-game limit. Right now, for a team to get to 27 games, they would have to be in a multiple-team event like the Maui Invitational, which Indiana is. You know, in a season when there's going to be all sorts of protocols for safety and health, when there could be controlled environments or bubbles or whatever you want to call them, I think fans and coaches and players and everyone involved just wants to have a season and for it to be safe and ultimately for it to end with conference championships an NCAA tournament after missing that stuff, or at least missing the NCAA all the way last year. 27 games to me, to discussion to change that or alter that or make it more, whatever the case is, I'm just shocked that they're even discussing that, because to me, 27 games is a huge season. I think we'd all take whatever we'd get this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at some point, if nothing else, maybe you sort of want to say, hey, do we want to overcomplicate this? You know, I mean, in terms of, we've already got this plan. We've already got a lot of protocols in place. Obviously, as you said, you're seeing sort of, you know, teams and organizing entities build individual bubbles in different places and in different, you know, different ways, different contexts. You know, I guess I'm broadly with you that 27 seems like enough to me, given everything. And that's, you know, what 27 essentially is, they bumped the start of the season back 2 weeks. And 27 is, you know, essentially down from what your previously allowable max of 31 was, presuming that you would have played between 4 and 5 games between November 10th and November 25th, which is the old start date and the new start date, you know, because that is a time of year when teams could be playing, you know, 3 times in 7 days as opposed to maybe just twice a week like they do in conference play. So, I mean... Yeah, I guess my ultimate attitude is just, why overcomplicate it? But I also recognize at the same time that, you know, everybody needs to be able to make some money too. And there's not any, real hope, I think, in a lot of places to get a significant number of fans back in the stands at any given time. I mean, I think we may have talked about this, but, you know, I think one of the biggest casualties of all this is going to be the guarantee games that obviously fans of programs like IU and Louisville and Kentucky sort of roll their eyes at and say, well, why are we playing these games that we're going to win by 30? But often those smaller schools really need those games because they need the money that goes back not just into their program but into their department. But all of a sudden, you know, if you're Indiana, you don't have a quota for home basketball games so that you can sell enough season tickets to meet a budget line item. You're not going to be putting fans in the stands really maybe at all, certainly no more than a few. So why not flex your muscle, get on TV, get in some bigger games, prioritize Maui, Gavitt, ACC, Crossroads, on and on and on. You know, would having more games help? I guess maybe potentially, but it does seem like it would just overcomplicate certain things.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. We're talking about college hoops for the upcoming season. Bringing it back to an IU perspective, you mentioned fans. I'm curious, when it comes to fans this season, once we actually see a schedule for how this is going to work, where games are going to be played, when you think about this, when you talk with people about this, do you feel like that there's a chance for Big Ten conference games to be played at colleges, maybe without fans or with limited fans or with parents and family only in attendance? But do you think we'll see games at Assembly Hall this year?
I mean, I haven't heard otherwise at this point. And I would imagine as of now, if that is the case, when you talk about fans, it'll be a policy similar to football, which is no fans other than, you know, program family, who I would imagine will be a little bit sequestered as well. I mean, again, you know, I know people have talked about bubbles and things. I have not heard anything, certainly anything concrete about the possibility of, you know, Big Ten basketball games in sort of, you know, central locations. I do know that's something that some conferences have discussed, essentially playing non-conference games in clusters where they, you know, they get maybe 6 teams together or 5 teams together in one place. They bubble them up for a couple days, let them practice all that, you know, and then they play like 4 games in 8 days. And then they go away again for 2 weeks, essentially, you know, that sort of setup. I have not heard anything like that relative to the Big Ten. You know, I think just even these things that we already discuss remind us all that basketball season, as much as it does seem like it's got a much better chance of starting at a predetermined time, continuing through to a predetermined end date and going to the tournament, et cetera, unlike football, which has been all chopped up. Even given all of that, it does still feel like we're in the planning stages a little bit with basketball. You know, like, for example, it's October 5th, and we don't know who Indiana's playing in the Gavitt games. We don't know their Maui matchups. We don't know their ACC matchup. We don't even know for sure that the Crossroads Classic is happening. At this point, I would expect it to, but the schools are basically, you know, at the mercy of waiting for their conference schedules to figure out, okay, is the ACC going to throw seven conference games in December? Well, then, you know, Notre Dame may not be able to play in the Crossroads Classic. It may just be a factor of time and convenience. So the point is, this is all still in the planning stages. I'm not saying something like that wouldn't happen. I have not, though, at this point, heard anything to suggest the Big Ten is strongly considering taking the games out of the home sites this year.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. The next subject I was going to bring up was the bracket for the Maui Invitational. I probably have had three or four questions submitted to the show over the last week saying, ask your guest, whoever, whatever IU expert it is we have on that day, ask him, when's the bracket going to be out? Who will Indiana play? What could the potential matchups look like for Indiana in that bracket? But, you know, it's October 5th. We believe that tournament's going to be played, what, November 25th or late November? And
yeah,
we don't know the matchups yet. That has to be forthcoming soon, I would think.
You would. I mean, there's a couple complicating factors. I think one of the big ones, unless something – I know the Pac-12 was at least considering allowing its basketball season to begin before January 1, which is when it said it initially postponed all sports until – but Stanford is in that field, and if that's, you know, I don't know if that's happened yet or not, but if that doesn't happen, if it hasn't happened and it doesn't happen, then you're going to have to figure out a way to, you're going to have to figure out a way to replace Stanford. If you go to the Maui Invitational website, it just says that the bracket will be announced shortly. As you said, it's got to happen at some point soon. But I think that really what everybody's waiting for is the conferences to release their schedules. Because again, using maybe not Maui, but like the Crossroads Classic as an example, because I kind of got into this a little bit, because Indiana is actually technically the host school that rotates among the four schools. And Indiana is the host for this year's Crossroads Classic, which I'm sure is a straw that, you know, IU was happy to draw in what is already an incredibly chaotic season. And, you know, what Indiana's basically told me is everybody needs to know what their conference schedule is first, because if any of these conferences decide that they want to play a substantial number of December conference games just to maybe get ahead of the eight ball, play a bunch of conference games while kids are off campus, whatever it may be, then it's probably going to be hard to make that game work, or at least it's going to be hard to make it work in its, you know, on its current date, in its current setting. And I think you're probably, that's probably what you're facing in terms of now behind the scenes. I'm guessing a lot of these entities are talking to one another. You know, the ESPN will be communicating with the Big Ten and the ACC, because ESPN is going to want the ACC Big Ten Challenge no matter what. That's a big money contract. It's a number of marquee basketball games that fill a big hole in ESPN's, you know, early December basketball programming window. But at the same time, the conferences need to figure out what works best for them, and then everything else needs to fit in around that. So I think that what you will probably see is a lot of things as we get a firm sense of what the conferences are going to do. I'm guessing a lot of these dates and events will either announce or be leaked out pretty soon after, because you would imagine there's probably even a level of almost making, you know, three, four different kinds of contingency plans for what if this happens or this happens or this happens. But everything does have to start with conference schedules, because at the end of the day, you know, the conferences are going to obviously control the majority of the schedule, and they're going to be the ones that kind of set the terms by which their teams play for NCAA tournament contention and consideration. So that's what's got to happen next, I think. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, kind of a big wave follow up after that.
Absolutely. Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach, a football note before we let you go today. Full practice is now back underway, I believe, with pads and everything in Bloomington, isn't it?
Yes, there was actually a scrimmage this weekend. So it's pretty much, I don't want to say all go. And I think Indiana's still been doing a lot of what they call spider work, which is, you know, basically these sort of half shoulder pads almost. But I mean, you were getting videos from a scrimmage at Memorial Stadium, this weekend. And I think it's, you know, if nothing else, it's probably refreshing for a lot of people just to see that. And I get that. I wrote a story earlier this fall when it didn't look like we were going to get football back, about just everything it felt like we'd lost. And, you know, I, as I say many times, I don't cheer for the teams. I don't favor any particular result. But, you know, even I just kind of walking around Memorial Stadium today, I went up there to just kind of write about what I saw and what I didn't see. There was even just kind of an emptiness of like, hey, this is, you know, this is what I do on Saturdays in the fall too. I go to college football games. I cover college football. And the smell of tailgating, the sounds, the scenes, everything. It's just, it's as much a part of the fabric of a reporter's life as it is a fan in many respects. So I think just, you know, seeing stuff like that again, honestly does feel good, frankly.
Yeah, no question. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, he with us on Mondays talking IU football and basketball. Zach, another week closer to IU football, Big Ten football, another week closer to the start of the basketball season as well. Some fun times, we hope, we think ahead, and appreciate the chat today.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us on Mondays. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Chad Gilbert, former coach in the area, also currently the athletic director at Charlestown High School, IHSA Executive Board President. We'll talk local sports and more with Chad next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back, final segment on this Monday program, Chad Gilbert, former basketball coach, current athletic director at Charlestown High School and the IHSA Executive Board President for this year, joins us. We talk a lot of local sports and a lot of basketball when Chad is with us on this segment. Chad, I know you can talk some NBA with me from last night. Butler, wow, what a performance. The Heat make the series a little bit more interesting, although I think the Lakers will still quickly go on to win it. But good to see them get a win and tighten things up a bit in the NBA Finals behind a big performance from Butler.
Matt, first off, I apologize. We are not prepared today. You and I are off. We're winging it today, and that's something we're not used to. But that's on me. I apologize on that one. We will make it through because you have the ability to lead me. You are, and that's what leaders do, is leaders lead. I was in the process of doing insurance on the other line, making sure, you know, old guy marries a young girl, that they've got their family taken care of. So I was working on that when you called. So I got to focus in here on sports mode.
All right. Well, hang on just a second. Since you want to start with non-sports stuff and ignore my NBA question to start, I've had a number of emails come in here today during the program that wanted you to kind of address some things going on as far as your long hair and your beard that you've been sporting to events across Southern Indiana. Why don't you talk about that to start, Chad?
Corona mask, you know, nothing to be messed with. I've been afraid to get in a chair. I don't go to a barber. I go to a hairdresser. You know that, Matt. So Rick and Ron, I've not seen them in 6 months. It's been since February since I've seen those guys. So my hair is getting long. My beard, I was just curious if I could grow a beard. I've got a little gray in it. Kids like it. Reminds them of Santa. But my son, Bama, said my belly reminds him more of Santa because during the quarantine, I've also put on about 25 pounds. So it's not been great for me as far as my looks go, but at some point I'm going to address that. I've got to address that.
Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad, let's get to the NBA game last night. I know you watched it. I know you saw that performance, and just curious your thoughts.
You know, it's tight. You know, it was do or die. Those guys backs against the wall, and boy, did Jimmy Butler ever produce. He stepped up when the game was on the line and did what he was supposed to do. You know, I thought these NBA finals have been extremely entertaining. I thought that guys have laid it on the line in the bubble, and I think the basketball has been better in the bubble. And the reason part of that is because there's no travel. There's no hostile environment. There's no sleeping in a hotel room. Well, I guess, let me take that back. Everybody's sleeping in a hotel room. So there's no home court advantage that there is with the regular playoffs. So I thought the play in the NBA has been excellent. The sets that teams have run, I think teams have been dialed in. And then for the finals, you got to say, you know, what Kentucky's players have done. They have really stepped it up big in there. You know, that would be the question. You know, I know there's a lot of Indiana chatter up here, but the guy that I'd be in question is how can Cal only win one championship with all that talent? Now, I guess you could say that about me at Jeffersonville too. Looking back at some of the teams I had, we probably should have won a state championship other than the one we won. But that goes back, you got to be good and you got to be lucky.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad with us on Mondays, talking local sports and a lot of basketball. I do want to go through some high school football happenings over the weekend. Before we talk about any teams or any games, how about a local player, Zen Mahalski of Floyd Central, committing on Saturday night to play at one of the highest levels of football you can play in the college level and in the Big Ten at Ohio State?
Oh, you know, that's huge. That is huge, someone like that. And that kid, I think we talked about him last spring, of just how he's transformed his body, the work he's done in. I thought that was outstanding. There was a couple of things that were interesting in that one. I thought, one, him not decommitting from Louisville and going to Ohio State. You know, you're at Ohio State, that's the Mecca, so, you know, I get that. Two, I thought it was interesting that they made the announcement on the Jeffersonville radio station.
Yeah.
I thought that was curious. I'd like to know the backstory on that and see what is involved in that one. I know Tim Dench at Jeffersonville likes to have a pat on the back. He likes to pat himself on the back quite a bit, so I'll pat him on the back here. And that's a feather in his cap. We'll get Tim Dench on sometime, and maybe we can pick his brain a little bit and see how he pulled off that coup.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Let's talk about high school football over the weekend. New Albany-Seymour, high-scoring game, probably the most competitive game of the weekend. It was one of the games that we featured in our coverage on Southern Indiana Football Fridays. But overall, it's been a tough year for some of our local teams in Clark and Floyd counties. I'm sure that as coaches get through this middle part of the season, really now we're headed into the backside of the season, sectional pairings come out this week, and you're excited to see what happens and who's going to line up with who, and that kind of maybe refreshes things for the rest of the way.
Well, I think, Matt, a big win is being able to play week to week. There's a lot of teams who haven't been able to play. I saw Boonville has been out for 2 weeks. Buddy at Valparaiso has been out for a couple weeks. So I think anytime you're able to play, that's a win. Now, the main thing is you want to make sure that your guys are healthy, your guys are not in quarantine moving forward through sectional week, because if you're not able to play, that's a bye. You know, the other team's going to move on with it. So that's something that teams need to understand and need to be prepared for. But it's, you know, hats off to the, you know, I give the IHSA big props for allowing this fall season to get underway, to get over with. The girls golf state championship wrapped up, and, you know, we've got sectional in soccer this week, cross country's on deck, volleyball just came out yesterday. So kudos to the IHSA and the ADs and coaches out there for getting through this difficult fall.
And of course, a busy time ahead for fall sports, as you mentioned. And Thursday night, we've got the high school football pairings from 6 to 8. And then you're going to join me Thursday night in studio from 8 to 9 p.m. You and I are going to talk with some of the local coaches and get their reactions to the tournament pairings and kind of talk about the last few weeks of high school football. So it's a busy time for you as an athletic director, for all ADs and coaches in fall sports as we get into the postseason, but also a fun time when things just change when it comes tournament time. And when you start talking about sectional pairings in football, it just has a different feel to it, I always believe.
Oh, it's no question about it. It's survive in advance, win or go home. And guys, you know, this year especially, you're building on a little bit more each week and trying to get ready for that sectional, that first round of sectional. Because once you get in that, it's just what you can do to the best of your abilities. And we've talked about it in every sport. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. It's whoever stays level is who advances. And with football, you see a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of kids involved in football. A lot of opportunities for kids to step up and make plays, and a lot of opportunities for kids to make mistakes. And I think as a coach moving forward with that, you have to factor that in the equation. You have to get your kids playing the best they can play. You got to have them looking good. You got to have them feeling good. You got to have them playing good. And I think veteran coaches around understand that, and veteran coaches look forward to that opportunity, because that's what the state tournament is. It's an opportunity to play for something bigger than yourself. It's an opportunity to put your individual skills on the sideline for the betterment of the team. And it's an opportunity to bring your community together to win a sectional tournament and try to advance.
Chad, one more football-related topic, and then I want to jump to some basketball. But we've talked some about the new football field facility that you guys have in Charlestown. Jeffersonville opened up their facility as well, although it was a loss to Madison over the weekend, Friday night, finally ready to open that thing. Haven't seen it up close and personal yet, but I hear outstanding reports that not only is it a turf facility, but so many other improvements made at Blair Field and Jeffersonville. And I think it's great to see Charlestown and now Jeffersonville open up new football stadiums that are first class. And really that helps not just that school or your school, but a lot of schools now have taken that step forward with turf facilities and new updated, improved football facilities. And that's exciting for a sport that I really think can use a shot in the arm.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that, you know, I'll use Charlestown's field, for example. Amy and I went to Blair Field yesterday, looked around, outstanding. It looks beautiful. And, you know, talking about that with Jeffersonville and New Washington and Charlestown being the same school system, you had a chance to see New Washington's basketball court. Matt, it's unbelievable how good it looks. So you got to give some props to the administration in Greater Clark, for Superintendent Mark Hoffner, for his ability to foresee what's coming, you know, to see that kids need an opportunity to be on the best facilities available and showcase your schools. And then also for our school board, who had that same vision moving forward, that they see the importance of that too. Our facilities, Matt, we're putting hours upon hours on there. We've got soccer on it. We've got football on it. We've got our band on it. We've got our PE classes on it. So we're going to get a lot of use out of that thing. And it's something that our kids are proud of, our community's proud of. You know, and you know, I didn't play football, but I'm proud of it. When I go by there, I get goosebumps. We drive by on the weekends every day to check on it. And it's something that you've got to come up here, Matt, just to see it. It's got a great feel to it. It's got a Friday Night Lights feel. It's an opportunity that kids play on there and see how nice that they have it, that little kids are, you know, coming to games, and one day they want to play on that field as well. So, you know, it's something that everyone's real proud of, and everyone has, again, bought into that same vision that Superintendent Mark Hoffner did. And so you got to give a shout-out to him and the school board at Greater Clark to see that opportunity to move forward.
Talking with Chad Gilbert, he's with me Mondays as we talk local sports and a lot of basketball as well. I think I asked your opinion last week or a few weeks ago about high school basketball season. I get so many questions this time of year, especially in this pandemic, about, hey, what are you hearing about tickets, and what will season tickets at some schools look like, or what will be the maximum capacities at some schools? We spoke about that last week, and now kind of beginning to really think and preview the upcoming season. Brandon Halpin was with me a few weeks ago. We've got some other coaches set to join later this week and in future weeks as we kind of take a real early preview at the high school basketball season. But, you know, we've talked a lot about Silver Creek, and we've talked a lot about some of the top players that are at different schools here locally. But when I think about the number of teams this year that have a chance to be competitive and have a chance to compete for a sectional championship, there seems to be maybe Silver Creek at the top, maybe a couple other teams you could pick to be there right in their arena or close. but a number of teams beneath that that have a chance to be good in their conference and have a good regular season and maybe by the end of the season be ready to compete for a sectional championship. And I think that's going to make this season extra exciting. We know we've got some elite players. We know we've got at least one or two really good teams. But I think we're going to have some depth in the area this year, which is nice to see.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that puts the pressure on those teams that are expected to be good. You know, Brandon's going to have some pressure. You know, if there's anybody that's been affected by COVID-19, it's the Silver Creek basketball team. They had an opportunity, you know, to do Marion Giants-type basketball, win three state championships in a row. And, you know, we talked about, again, you got to be good and you got to be lucky. But I think that with the coaching that Silver Creek has, with the players they had, that was right there in their wheelhouse to get that done. That being said, there's a difference between being the hunted and huntee, as Brandon knows last year, and he made it through the regular season fairly unscathed with everybody shooting for him last year. You know, and he had that opportunity to be the huntee last year. Well, this year it's going to be kind of the same thing. You know, I think North Harrison has an opportunity on the right night to maybe catch the Dragons, but it's going to have to be the right night. I mean, just Silver Creek just has all the pieces. They've got great coaching, great players. And not that North Harrison doesn't, because they have great coaching, great players too, but it's just going to be hard to knock off the Dragons moving forward. And you think about the Hoosier Hills Conference, you got to put Floyd up there right now. I would think Jeffersonville, New Albany's knocking on the door. Can't this take out a Jennings County team that looks like they much improved, and a Bedford team much improved. So, you know, a lot of good basketball moving forward. So it's going to be a fun season. You know, we hope that we can get in and get fans an opportunity to enjoy it. And, you know, the one thing that fans have to understand, if they don't get to enjoy the first game, maybe hit the second game or third game, because all the coaches and all the ADs are going to do everything they can to make sure that this winter is a enjoyable experience for everyone.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert. Chad, thanks for the chat today. I know it's busy at school, busy with fall sports. So find some free time, whatever you got to do to study and cram, because we've got an hour football preview show coming up Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to having you in studio for once.
Matt, I'm pumped up for Thursday. Do you have food for us?
Yes, we'll have Zaxby's Catering brought in.
My man Jerry always comes through, always comes through. Zaxby's first down, Zaxby's three-pointer. Jerry's got Charlestown in lock. But I'm looking forward to that, Matt. Maybe we can get a basketball preview going as well.
Yep,
we'll do.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, thanks as always for the chat. And according to Bob McEwen, go cut that beard and hair, please.
Appreciate the run, Matt. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Got it. Chad Gilbert with me Mondays, always fun. We have a lot of fun, go way back. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. I'll be back Tuesday. We'll have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com on IU topics. And don't forget, we'll be here every day this week at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.